Well, as I mentioned, the Wisconsin Film Festival is coming up April 2nd through the 5th. It is the state's premier film festival. It was founded, I think, back in 1999. It's held in the heart of Madison, our capital city. It's a four-day festival, and it'll take place. It takes place every spring, both on the campus, the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus, and downtown Madison theaters. And it presents the best new independent film, world cinema, restored classics. It showcases the work of Wisconsin filmmakers through juried competitions. It's just a wonderful event. And we're going to be talking now with the producer and co-director of one of the films that you are going to be able to see when you come to the Wisconsin Film Festival. Justine Jacob is our guest, producer and co-director of the film titled Paper or Plastic. And it follows eight grocery workers vying to win the 2007 National Grocers Association Best Bagger Championship in Las Vegas. And as I said, it's going to be the film will be shown during the Wisconsin Film Festival. And I thought it'd be a lot of fun to learn about the film and what it takes to produce and direct a film like this, or any film for that matter, and talk about paper or plastic. What do you say when you go to the grocery store? Do you say paper or do you say plastic? And what about those folks who bag the groceries for us? Really intriguing idea for a film, and really pleased to have Justine Jacob with us by phone. Justine, hi. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on. We're so excited to play at the Wisconsin Film Festival.
I tell you, if you haven't been to the festival, it is a wonderful, wonderful event, and I know a lot of people are going to see your film. What possessed you to put together a film on this topic? It's a documentary.
It's a documentary, yeah. A lot of people actually think that it's not a documentary, that we made it up, but it is documentary. And, you know, my husband was sitting around with a bunch of friends, and they were talking about what their first jobs were. And one of his friends said, well, I was a grocery bagger, but I never made it out of regionals. And he said, wait, what do you mean never made it out of regionals? And he explained this competition, and he called me up on the way home, and he said, Justine, I have your next documentary project. And I looked into it, and we went and we filmed the Utah competition and the California competition, and we knew we had an amazing story there. And the competition is very fun, and it's exciting, and Wisconsin actually puts on a great competition. And but the fact is, what we did was we went to 23 states around the United States and met these individuals, and we realized we really had a story about a slice of American life and Americana and who we are as Americans, how hard we work, and our desire to just be the best at what we do, no matter what that is, whether it is grocery bagging or sports or being a manager or just whatever you do, basically taking your job seriously. And we just met incredible people who were focused on being the best, and that was a lot of fun.
Well, you pitched the idea for the movie during a Sundance Producers Conference. What was the reaction?
Yeah, so I went to this producers conference, and we got up in front of 80 people, and we had to pitch a project. We had 2 minutes to pitch a project to a panel of people who could potentially greenlight the film. And it was a horrible experience to get up in front of all these people and pitch something. And I ended up winning the pitch session. And I think it was this idea of, one, it's entertaining. So it's a fun, entertaining story. And two, it's very sweet and lovely. And there's so many wonderful documentaries out there that deal with very serious issues. And I'm very glad there are documentarians making those films. But this one is really a chance to sit back, enjoy who we are as Americans, laugh not at the people but with them, and just have fun. And I think that was part of the pitch, was just being able to convey that this is a really fun, sweet, special story.
Well, I want to give folks a chance to join in. So if you have a question for Justine Jacob as we talk with her about her film and a little about the Wisconsin Film Festival, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org, and we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call or shoot us an email, and we'll be glad to get you on the air with your questions. So, well, what does it take to produce documentary these days?
That's a very loaded question.
Yeah.
it takes a lot, and it's, you know, especially in this day and age, it's hard. And film distribution in general to actually get the film out there has changed so drastically in the last few years. You know, we've created the film and put it out there, and it's, you know, a few years ago people told us, oh, we would have paid you $1 million for this film. Now they're offering like $40,000. So it's very, very different. And so now what it takes, which is start a film, we're in development on a new film about chocolate and three people using chocolate to change the world. And the way we produce the film now is we're really getting a lot of people on board at the beginning. So to fundraise and to get people interested in the film, a lot of the work actually takes place before you can even start producing. And the idea with this film, the new film, is to get it completely funded up front, and then go through and do it. So it's a huge challenge, and especially now. And then again, you know, with the economy, it's really difficult to raise funds and put it together. Once we actually have the funds, it's so much fun. I love making films. it's hard and it's challenging, but, you know, I get to, for example, with Paper or Plastic, I got to travel around the United States, meet incredible people, see places that I'd never been to before, and it was a true pleasure to be able to do that.
I would think it was. What does a producer do? Is it your job to raise all that money?
Yeah, so technically the executive producer raises the money. My executive producer happens to be my husband, so it works out well that way. So I actually do a lot of the work to raise money as well. And then I'm the one that hires the crew, I set the schedule, I make sure that we're in the right place at the right time to get the footage. Once we have that footage, I create the whole schedule for how we're actually going to put the film together. How do we edit it? How do we do post-production, like music and sound design and sound editing, and then actually putting the film out into the festivals and things like that. So it's sort of the overall coordination of everything.
What is it, you know, for a documentary, it's obviously different from a film that involves professional actors and actresses. And I'm wondering, yeah, what is it like to tease out or to get a good response from essentially non-professional people?
It's what I actually enjoy about documentaries. It's so real. With Paper or Plastic, I couldn't have written this stuff. You know, I couldn't have actually created these individuals and these characters. They're so incredible. And as my goal and what my job is when I interview them is to bring out who they are and to bring out something that would be compelling for other people to watch. We all have, I think, very interesting stories, but how do you tell that story in a compelling way so people will actually sit in a theater and want to watch it? And then, you know, the joy of it is that they do say stuff that you just never imagined. And 90% of being a documentary filmmaker is being there to capture those moments. And not only during the interview, but also just the verite things that happen. And it's just being at the right time, the right place at the right time, capturing it. And then the rest of the 10% is how do you then put that together at the end?
Well, give us an example of something you never expected to hear or see in a Paper or Plastic that came out.
You know, I think we went in thinking that it was just these really nice, sweet little competitions in some areas. And some of the states have these incredible competitions. California, they do a huge spirit competition. People came with faces painted and dressed up, and we called it the Thunderdome of bagging. They had, you know, over 500 people in this one little area cheering on the baggers who were in the center of the ring. They had fireballs going, they had songs. It was so much fun and so crazy, and it was very, very unexpected, and we suddenly had to change, okay, how are we going to film that? How do we capture that essence of it? And that one, you can actually see it in the trailer as well.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun.
Justine Jacobs, our guest today, producer and co-director of the film Paper or Plastic, which follows eight grocery workers vying to win the 2000 National Grocers Association Best Bagger Championship in Las Vegas. Sounds like a wonderful film. I'm going to take a look at it. I'll be there at the film festival, and I hope you are too. She'll continue to talk with us, and you can join in with your own questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@WPR here on the Ideas Network. Glad to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Justine Jacob, producer and co-director of the film Paper or plastic? It follows eight grocery workers vying to win the 2007 National Grocers Association Best Bagger Championship in Las Vegas. And it's, the film will be shown during the Wisconsin Film Festival at various Madison venues April 2nd through the 5th. So we're really looking forward to seeing the film. And there's a trailer up you can take a look at now. We'll find out some more about that. But also talking with her not only about the film, but producing films and documentaries. Documentary films. I'm learning a little bit here, and I hope you are too. And if you have some questions, I hope you'll join in. Some callers online, but you can get on yet at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@WPR.org. And Justine, we have some callers online, so why don't we just go right to the phones?
Great.
Megan, we'll go to you first. Megan's on the road there. Megan, hello.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for doing the show. It's delightful. I'm curious about financing for documentary films and have always wondered who finances something like that? Why would they finance something like that? Do the costs of financing get recouped somehow down the road? So if you could talk a little bit about that and how people who make their living doing documentary films, how do you make a living doing this? So mm-hmm. I'll take your answers offline. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Megan, for calling. Well, Justine, what about it? Several questions there.
It's incredibly difficult to make a living doing this. There's different reasons people will fund films. For example, my first film, Runner's High, which is about a group of inner-city Oakland teenagers who trained for and ran the L.A. Marathon, we did a lot of fundraising through donations. So we had a lot of house parties. I wrote a lot of grant applications. And we got a lot of people to actually donate money for that project. This particular project about the grocery bagging competition, we decided to do ourselves self-investment as well as get some investors on board, which was a little bit trickier and a little bit more complicated legal-wise, way to form a corporation and things like that. But what that does is I'm now responsible for those investors, but I just have a few to take care of. And those people invested because they felt that this film had potential to make some money on the back end. So that's how we would actually make money and recoup the cost. The idea is to actually take this film theatrical and then go to DVD sales as well as online sales on iTunes and all the way down the line on other online stores, DVD again, educational markets, and there are ways to recoup costs that way. It's definitely not a big money maker. I used to be an attorney, and I can very much say that this is much less lucrative than being an attorney, but a lot more fun. And the idea now, as far as what I was talking about a little bit earlier, is ideally you get the film funded before you even start. So that way, it's whether it is investors or grant money or whatever that is, you get all that money up front, and then you either try to make money on the back end or people put in the money again because they believe in what you're doing and they believe it's a good cause. We ourselves decided to invest in this project because I'm trying to establish myself as a filmmaker. I believe I am a good filmmaker and I believe that I have good films to offer and I need to show that. And now that I have a couple films that have gone to festivals and done really well, I'm more likely to get funding to do my next films. And that, again, might be through investors who like the cause of what I'm doing, or it might be through grant money and organizations that want to get a certain message out there.
And as you say, then, the income can come not only from viewings in theaters.
Correct. So the theatrical run will, usually you hope to just break even on theatrical run. And then what theatrical run does is it raises awareness about your film so you can then do downloads on iTunes for the film as well as DVD sales. And that's where you end up making more of the money and recouping the cost. And then there's the educational market. So for example, a DVD for home use might cost $10 to $25 for documentaries, whereas educational institutions usually pay about $300 to $500 per DVD because they're buying a license to then show it to multiple people at multiple times. So you end up making more money usually in the educational market for DVDs.
All right. Thank you, Megan, for that call. Let's go to Randy in Madison next. Randy, hi. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning. And Larry, let me quickly say that it shows like today's, including your first segment, that make me think you're probably the most underused host at WHA. For the guest, I'd, I'd like to ask, are you one of the documentaries that has a credit for writing, screenwriting?
Good question, and you can follow up with that of why you're asking that if you want. But we do not have a screenwriting credit, but we decided to do a story credit. And the story credit was for the original idea and then also working through the story. So we did not have a written script, but we spent a lot of time developing story. And for us, whether it's narrative film or documentary, it's all about the story and how you actually tell that. And because there's no upfront script with documentary, a lot of it is having story meetings, working with the material, and figuring out exactly how to tell that story. So we do give a story credit to myself, my co-director, and our executive producer who spent a lot of time with us developing the story.
All right, good. And the reason I'd asked is because it has always bothered me to see screenwriting credits on a documentary. And so I appreciate the fact that you said no, it didn't have a writer as such.
Yeah, and for some, I think some people do screenwriting credit because there's narration and there's a lot of sort of voiceover. We don't tell stories that way. We tell it through the characters themselves with no voiceover or narration. So I could see if, someone had actually written an entire narration of how the film was being told, that might be considered a screenwriting credit. I would still credit it as narration or voiceover, but some people do credit that as screenwriting. I do think it's very different from writing a fiction film, though.
Sure. Right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or give us an email at talk@WPR.org. We'd love to get you on with your question. What about, in some ways it would be, it's more difficult almost, I would think, to produce a film the way you produce it as opposed to a documentary, let's say, that has a narration over it. The narration can take care of a lot of things, I would think, that you might not be able to show or didn't have footage of or what have you.
Yeah, the more traditional documentary does have narration and does have voiceover, and we very much took a particular stand that we didn't want to do that, and we wanted it to be told through images, instead of telling the audience what to think or see, we wanted it actually to show it, and we think that's what the medium of film allows you to do, is actually see what it is and make the interpretation for yourself. It definitely is more difficult, and there were definitely times we had to figure out a way, okay, we want to say that this person is, heading to the finals, or we want to say that this person had a rough background. How do we convey that? And we had to struggle with figuring out the images that we could use for that. And as we film and as we talk to these people, we very much have that in our mind. My questions are not on camera. My voice is not on camera. And we had to ask questions in a way that we knew we weren't going to be using my voice. So that definitely is trickier.
Yeah, I would think it would be. Someone wondered whether you or not you, if the people who appear in a film like this, and let's say the principals, would receive any monetary. Would they get paid? Let's put it that way. The question was put: would there be any monetary assistance? But do you pay those people to appear?
No, we do not. And part of that is just the ethics of paying someone to be in a documentary. I mean, these people are, it really is happening. They're not acting. They're not doing things that we've asked them to do. And so if it was paid, I think that would compromise it. Now, none of my films have made so much money that I've gotten rich off of this. So there's never been the issue of, okay, I'm getting rich and they're not. And it's something that, I would have to think about. If I was making millions of dollars on this film, what is it that I could give back to the people that obviously gave me so much time and allowed me to go into their lives? I know it's a lot of documentarians, for example, on my other film, Runner's High, which is starting to bring in some money, we donate a percentage of all the income to the organization that we filmed that trains these kids to run the marathon. So we definitely give back in that way. I know with, the example, the movie Hoop Dreams, they definitely helped out the characters on down the line and supported them in some way. But there's
there definitely are some ethical dilemmas about paying people to be in a documentary.
Yeah, I would think. The amount of time, how much time do you spend? Now, you followed essentially 8 contestants, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Correct, yeah. Well, we told a story on 8. We actually went to 23 states and met with those state champions. And then we followed technically about 14 to the finals that we thought maybe may or may not win, because we had no idea who was going to win this competition. We could sort of hedge our bets and say, okay, well, I've seen that person bag, and I think they do a really good job, but you just never know. And there were 3 people we hadn't met at all that they could have won the competition, and we wouldn't have had a film. So with about 14 people we were tracking in Las Vegas, I had 6 camera crews following these individuals around, and then we had 6 camera crews actually filming the finals in Vegas. And again, we got lucky. You know, I'm not going to tell you who won, but we got lucky that someone we were following got to the finals.
And we had a Wisconsin representative in there.
Yes.
Jared Seidel, I think it was.
Jared was the following year. I believe it was Lori, the year that we filmed. Lori Weider, I think.
Oh, okay.
And she actually went on the Ellen DeGeneres show. As the Wisconsin winner that year.
Well, what is it? Tell us about the competitors a little bit. Give us an idea. You followed these 8 folks. What were they like?
Well, what I love about the year that we filmed particularly, and it just varies every year, is that there was a huge range. There were men, there were women, there were girls, and there were boys. It was we had the range from, I think the youngest that we followed was 17, and the oldest was 50. And it was this real sense of different people in the grocery industry. And I always joke around now that if this whole film thing doesn't work out for me, I'm going into the grocery industry. I met the nicest people and people who genuinely believe that they are providing a service to our society. You know, it's one of those things that we often take for granted, that we walk into a supermarket and we can buy whatever we want. We don't have to grow our food. We don't have to raise the livestock. We can just go and buy our dinner. And these people are providing that service. And so I met people who were genuinely interested in doing that. And that was a joy, you know, from Jacob, who was 17, that was just starting out and just so excited and was graduating high school that year, to John, who was 50, and this was his career, was being a manager in a supermarket. And he'd always worked in a supermarket. He'd owned a supermarket for a while and then decided to work for someone else. It's a very small town in Minnesota. And it was amazing. These people are just committed to their jobs and committed to their communities, which was lovely to see. And then as far as, I'm always amazed that people let us film them. You know, a lot of times we were a foot away from them with our camera, and they let us do that, and they let us into some really nice, intimate moments and let us into their lives. And I'm very grateful to them. And I think that it shows in our film that you get to really see who these people are and what their lives are like. So we had a lot of fun meeting them. And again, I'm just very gracious to them for letting us film them.
Now, do they get a look at this film? Well, they'll all see the film, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we prepared at the LA Film Festival, and we were able to fly a couple of the characters in the film out to the premiere. And I made sure that they had seen the film beforehand. I always make sure that if someone's going to see it in the public arena, that they see it first, because it's you know, there's a reason I'm behind the camera. I don't want to be in front of it. It's very difficult to watch myself on camera, and I think it's hard for people to see that. And then to know that other people are watching you as well. I always make sure that they're okay with it. Now, my films don't do anything compromising. I don't expose anything, so no one has had an issue with what I've done. And our goal was never to make them look bad in any way. So no one so far has had an issue with what we did with the film.
Well, what is the art to grocery bagging? Or is there an art to it? There is an art.
There is, yes. If you've ever gone to the supermarket and had your bags incorrectly bagged, which I'm sure you have, there is an art to it. And the competition is based on speed, because, you know, you don't want to be sitting at the checkout aisle for a long time. There's structure. Where do you put the bottles? Where do you put the boxes? Making sure that there's actually things are protected. And where things go, you don't want the bread on the bottom or the eggs on the bottom. And there's weight distribution. You know, when you're carrying your groceries out to your car, you don't want one bag so much heavier than the other that you're unbalanced. So those are the 3 main criteria that they're based on. And then there's always style. You know, are you polite? Are you nice? Do you give it to it with a smile? Are you nice to the customers in general? And they get some style points for that.
They get style points. Well, how is it set up? Do people just come up with their groceries and you bag them, or what?
No, they set it up where each contestant has the same amount of groceries and the same types of groceries. It's all equal, and it's on the check stand already. And then you get two paper bags and three plastic bags. And there's usually two rounds, one for paper, one for plastic. And you get to pack them in as fast as you can and then throw up your hands when you're done, and they judge you. It's a lot of fun to watch, and it's hard. Well, I don't bag my own groceries. Whenever I go to the supermarket, I let the professionals do it.
Well, now, what's in it for the this we're talking about the competition now, a bit in a way away from the film here, but what's in it for the bagger who the baggers who win this?
It depends on the state. Sometimes states have each store will have a competition, and they often give coupons and prizes. Prize money has often gone up to from $50 to $2,000. And then once they become the state finalist, they usually get some kind of cash prize at the state level. Then they get a free trip for them and a friend to go to Las Vegas for 3 or 4 days. They get to participate in the competition there. Just for participating, I think they get $250. And then the top four finalists get, I think, $500, and the winner gets $2,000.
Oh, so, well, that's a pretty nice, a little payday, but a really nice event. From the sound of it, they make a really nice event out of it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The National Grocers Association is great, and they're really committed to maintaining that choice in our communities, that we have independent grocers along with the bigger chains. And they put on a really nice event. We were just there in beginning of February where they did the 2009 competition, and it was a blast. We really had a good time.
Thinking about your documentary, it's a documentary that offers drama via competition. I think some reviewers have noted that, and there are several. In that sort of series, I guess there's World Wars for Scrabble was one, I think.
There's Scrabble. There's Wordplay that does the crossword puzzles. There's this Spellbound, of course, which was excellent about the spelling bee. And then there's some other random ones about cup stacking and I think underwater ironing.
Underwater ironing?
Yeah, there's some bizarre competitions out there. And one of the things that we loved about this one is, yes, there is the competition and it's grocery bagging, but it's one of those things that we all do. We all go to the supermarket. We might not do the crossword puzzle. We might not stack cups, but we all go to the supermarket in one way or the other. And we've all at some point probably bagged groceries. So we love the commonality of that.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because we all do it at one point or another. We have a film, a documentary kind of close to home, was called Trivia Town. I don't know if you know. It's a documentary about there's an annual radio call-in trivia contest in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and it's held every year, and people compete from all over the place, not just from Wisconsin.
Very fun.
Yeah, there are people from all over the world, essentially, who participate in it. So that's another that's one that's kind of close to home.
That's great.
Yeah, for us. So I would think that a documentary along those lines it allows for tension building.
Yeah, what's nice is we sort of have that built-in arc. We have the individuals getting to the finals of their state, you know, winning the state competition, building up to the nationals in Vegas, and then actually having to compete again. And then there's a winner. So it has a really nice natural arc. And then for us, it was a way to follow that arc and that structure and then tell these slice-of-life stories about these individuals.
Well, tell us now, your film is certainly coming to the Wisconsin Film Festival 2009 in April, but how have the showings been going? You've been in one, did you say, or a couple?
We premiered at the Los Angeles Film Festival in June, and we also played at the Heartland Festival. We just recently played to sold-out audiences in Sedona this past weekend, and we won awards with the Indie Fest and Honolulu Film Festival. We won an award of excellence from each of those. So we're just doing the festival circuit this year, and then, like I said, we'll hopefully bring it out theatrically by the end of this year.
So there's some cost associated. Once the film is done, the costs don't stop there.
No. I wish they did, but no. They keep going. It actually costs us to play in film festivals. We love doing it because for festivals like Wisconsin, there's this really lovely built-in audience, and that people that appreciate films, appreciate documentaries, and I make films for people to see. You know, I don't make them just to subject my friends and family to them. And so for us to get it into a theater, it's fantastic, and to actually watch a film that we've lived with and breathed for a few years in front of an audience is an incredible experience as a filmmaker.
Do you attend all of them yourself, the festivals?
We try, yeah. My co-director, Alex Da Silva, will actually be at the Wisconsin Film Festival, which is really exciting. And what that allows us to do is also do the Q&A after the screening. And and that's great because we get to, again, interact with the people that have just seen the film. And some have questions that we've never thought of. Others, you know, it's just fun to hear that they enjoyed the film. It's fun to hear them laughing at the right places. It's fun to hear them laughing at places we never thought would be funny that turn out to be funny. So it's a really fun experience for us.
And in your experience, what about the notoriety of the folks that you have featured in your documentaries? Is there a little fame come to those folks too?
It does, and that's really fun for us to see too. You know, we were in Utah, and people recognize Brian, who is the Utah state champion, and that's been really fun. Or we've heard emails getting to our characters of, you know, that they really enjoyed them and had fun seeing them, and that's sort of an added bonus for us that our characters will get some attention and positive attention and are enjoying it as well.
Well, I have, speaking of enjoying, I have really enjoyed talking with you today, Justine. It's a pleasure, and I can't wait to see your film.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad you're going to be at the festival, and I'll definitely have my co-director keep an eye out for you.
Well, I'll look him up. Thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.
Justine Jacob, producer and co-director of the film Paper or Plastic, and as we said, it follows 8 grocery workers vying to win the 2007 National Grocers Association Best Bagger Championship in Las Vegas. It sounds like a fun film, and when you listen to the enthusiasm and excitement in her voice, and she's a very smart lady, as you can tell as well, you know it is going to be a wonderful, or it is a wonderful film. So thanks again to Justine Jacob. And thanks to you for listening. Been a great audience as always, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.